WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. It is state representatives. We're concentrating today on the districts on the outer part of Marion County. And as we do on the program, we invite Democrats and Republicans. And we're always happy when people accept. Not everybody accepts our invitation. Sometimes people can't get off work. I think the legislature ought to pass a law that says if media invites the legislature to come on the show, they ought to get a free pass from their employer to come. Bradford Moulton is the Republican candidate in House District 92. That is out in Wayne Township in beautiful Speedway. It had been Republican. It's currently represented by a Democrat. Bradford Moulton is going to try to switch that around in the election on November the 4th. Mr. Moulton, welcome.
Well, thank you.
And our standard first question with everybody, we're going to copyright this. Is why are you running?
Well, and that's a wonderful question. And the reason I'm running is this, because I think we're doing a wonderful job on the west side of Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. But I think we can do better. Mm-hmm. I'm a firefighter paramedic in the west side of Indianapolis, and I represent and respond to the needs of our community every day. And I want to do it in a new way, in a more empowering way, so that the things that I see in our district, the people that I talk to, that I can relate that downtown to Indianapolis, to the state house, mm-hmm. and that I can represent everyone. Not a special interest group, not an individual or not a group of people, but everyone that's in Wayne Township and in District 92.
If you were elected, what would you do differently than the current state representative for District 92?
I think two of the biggest things I do differently is I wouldn't put forth legislation that limits a group. Mm-hmm. For example, not just a women's veterans group. Mm-hmm. I want a state veterans group. Mm-hmm. Federal government doesn't care if you're a man or woman. If you're a veteran, you're a veteran. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And the second biggest thing I do is I'd make sure that every person is represented in a fair way and in a consistent way, not cater to a group one week and then cater to another group the next week. I'm going to be open and honest. Everyone knows me in Wayne Township. You know, I often been said, well, how long you been there? What have you been doing there? Who are you? Mm-hmm. And my answer is this. I'm who I am. I'm Bradford Moulton. I'm a mm-hmm. firefighter paramedic, and I'm out here representing the west side of
Indianapolis. And you're with one of the best fire departments in the world.
Yes, I am. And a special shout out to Chief Gene Conzen and Trustee Andy Harris. They're doing a great job on the west side with the Wayne Township Fire Department.
Let me talk education, because over half of the money the state of Indiana collects for its budget goes to public education, whether it's K through 12 or whether it's higher education. When I had the incumbent and the challengers for the Wayne Township School Board, they were on this program a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They were concerned, as I think all the school board candidates were that we've had on, about the funding levels for public education, and they were concerned about some of the things that the Republican majority in the legislature, if they were concerned about the Democratic majority, I would say the same thing, about the funding problems that they're dealing with, both from the general fund in terms of state funding that has gone down. They're also concerned as the property tax caps kick in, and obviously that's an issue in Wayne Township that affects the transportation budget, that affects the budget for repairs. If you're elected to the legislature, where are you going to be on school funding and making sure that the Wayne Township schools and the Speedway schools, which are in your district, I don't think there's any IPS in your district as I remember it, that they have the dollars they need to do the job?
Well, it's a very delicate balance when you're talking school funding, and Wayne Township has definitely been hurt by the tax caps. We've seen that through the fire department. We've seen that through the schools. And as the legislature is going to look next year to kind of revamp how we do funding, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that we're going to need to make sure is that we're providing adequate funding. Mm-hmm. We also have to look at what are we doing with the dollars that they have. Mm-hmm. And I think the latest number I heard was $71 million over the last 7 years that they've decreased in just Ben Davis alone. Right. And part of that has to do with strategic planning. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, the people that were doing the strategic planning for Ben Davis expected there to only be 12,000 students in the school district. Mm-hmm. So they didn't prepare. Right. Now, we can't go back in time and change things. But what we can do is look forward. Mm-hmm. How do we balance school funding mm-hmm. and balance it in a way that's fair and equitable, whether you're an IPS school district, whether you're a Wayne Township school district, or whether you're in Tri-West in right. Hendricks County? Mm-hmm. So we have to look at, there needs to be a minimum per pupil dollar. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that every school can count on regardless. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we adjust based on what needs are, what the infrastructure needs are, what the needs are for transportation. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the transportation cost of Ben Davis is a heck of a lot more than it is at Tri-West.
Right.
So you have to really balance that. And I think the key to that is working with the superintendents. It's working with the people who create the budgets, not only for the state of Indiana, but also for the school boards and the school districts to make sure that the funding is used adequately.
I want to make sure I understand you. I'm not misunderstanding you. You're mm-hmm. not saying that the state portion of school funding should go to transportation, because right now transportation is locked in to the whole property tax thing.
It is locked in, and my preference would be to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to listen. I'm willing okay. to talk to everyone and see what is the best way that we can do this and how can we fund that in a fair way. And I think if we lock a certain number in at a per student capita, mm-hmm. then the extra money that gets divvied out
right.
that goes above that can be looked at as for transportation, but we have to make sure we're being careful.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is we're talking with Bradford Moulton. He is the Republican candidate for House District 92. As you've gone door to door, I'm hearing education is up there in the top three or four issues that people bring to candidates' attention. Where's crime? Is crime number one with a star next to it?
No, I don't think okay. crime is number one. I think okay. crime's about number three for the west side of Indianapolis.
All right, what's two and one?
Well, number one I hear is jobs, okay. and number two I hear is education.
Okay, so when you say jobs, they're not buying. I know the unemployment rate for the state went down again. Governor's bragging about it.
Absolutely.
Your district ain't necessarily, they say, okay, that's nice. We ain't seen it in District 92.
Well, I think we are seeing the improvement, but we're seeing it incrementally.
Okay.
And when I hear the term jobs, it's there's jobs available, but they're not qualified for them. Or they'll put in five or six applications because they're limiting what they're going after.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think our district is primed and ready to go mm-hmm. to bring new businesses into Wayne Township and into the West 40 corridor
right.
In along Rockville Road.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to look and be careful on how we're using those TIF districts.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Township is hit really hard by the amount of money that goes to the Indianapolis International Airport based on how those districts are set up within Wayne Township.
That's right.
A lot of property tax
value.
Because
you still have the TIF for that whole United Airlines thingamajig.
Correct. Which, yeah, we know where that went. So I think one of the important things when I'm hearing jobs, I think right. one of the important things is building those community partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done an excellent job over the last 10 years on the west side of Indianapolis. There's a lot of really good things that are coming out, and there's talk of a CDC coming out on the west side. There's talk with the Chamber as far mm-hmm. as ways that we can expand. The west side Chamber is looking to get groups together. We're at a point now where we got a bunch of businesses together to try to get the criminal justice system in Wayne Township. And it didn't happen in Wayne Township, but we still got this group together, and I'm excited to give them new and exciting ways that we can look at expanding jobs out in Wayne Township.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name. Let me go to the phones. And Cindy, hi there.
Hi, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, first-time caller. Let me give you a salute. There you go. What's up?
I voted early. I just wanted to let you know that I'm really excited about the candidates that you have on. It really helps a lot.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate hearing that.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is on as it relates to crime.
Yes.
Do you think we need, the legislature already recodified all the sentences of the criminal code, loosening up some of the nonviolent stuff, supposedly tightening up the more violent stuff. Do we need to change it again?
Well, I think we certainly need to revisit it. Do we need to change it? I know there's a couple things that I would like to do to change
it. What would you want?
One of the first things I would like to do is have a mandatory sentence that if you use a gun,
mm-hmm.
In an offensive way, in commission of a felony, it's an automatic 10 to 20 year sentence in addition to
mm-hmm.
whatever the sentencing is.
Right.
What I've heard over and over is the prosecutors are worried about their prosecution rate, and they use that as a bargaining chip.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got kids that are charged with gun crimes that are getting those charges dropped on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
The latest number I heard was something like 50 homicides in the last 3 years
mm-hmm.
would not have been committed had those full sentences been enforced or those charges not dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Whether through a plea deal or whether through a conviction.
Let's just say for the sake of the argument, you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that law kicks in. then how do we pay for those extra prison beds? Because one of the reasons the state went, the legislature and the prosecutors all around the state went through the exercise of recodifying the criminal code was the state realized how much more money they would end up spending locking people up. And we ain't got that kind of money. And
exactly.
I don't think anybody on either side of the aisle is talking about general tax increases right now.
No, and I think there's two big ways that we can do that. Number one, we need to have a better criminal justice system for those first-time offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Plainfield, at the prison out there, they've got a great program where these offenders are coming in, first-time offenders, nonviolent criminals, and they're being taught trades.
Mm-hmm.
They're being taught a program that they identify, they talk with counselors, and they identify what they can do so that when they're released, they have a skill, they mm-hmm. have job training, that they can come back into society and that they can reintegrate and then they can be productive members of society. Everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody deserves a job and everybody deserves a skill.
Do we need something where, for example, if you're a teacher, if you go to school and you get a teaching degree and you agree to teach in an urban school, they forgive your loans or they write off a certain amount of your loan. Should we look at for a nonviolent offender, if you keep on the straight and narrow for X number of years, we'll forgive some of those fees you need to pay?
Absolutely. I do agree with that, but I'm going to say it this way. We're not going to forgive everything.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say, okay, if you come out and you have a job
mm-hmm.
and you follow the rules and you do that for a period of, say, whatever your release is, say 3 years.
Right.
You have certain fees you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying on a monthly basis, you're regular, you're meeting with your probation officer, you're doing everything that you should be doing, absolutely. I believe that is a fair second chance.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is. We're talking with Bradford Moulton. He's the Republican candidate in House District 92. You can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Back to the phones and Pastor Brad. Hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Good, good. And to the Republican, I'd like to say hello to you too.
Well, good afternoon. Hello.
I have a question. I hear a lot on television how we're the focus is on for those that are non-violent offenders and how we are to try to give them another chance and opportunity. Well, the thing is that we don't hear about those on television because those crimes are, you know, they're small petty crimes like petty theft and things like that. The crimes that we hear on TV are from violent offenders, and we're not focusing much more on giving them an opportunity. Don't you think they deserve a chance, too? I like to hear your plan on helping them, because if they serve that 10 or 20 years if you had your way, when they come back out, who's going to give them a second chance? Who's going to respect that they took the opportunity to reform or change their life, you know, whatever reason, decide to get themselves together? How can we help those individuals?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the biggest thing we can do is, as a faith-based community, we can accept those people back into our churches and into our communities. And then from there, we can help develop those life skills so they don't reoffend, that we can bring these ex-felons or ex-violent offenders, that we can help them provide with basic skills so that they can reintegrate. One of the things I've heard over and over is that these people get out of jail and they're back into it within 6 months because they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, spending that amount of time in prison and not being comfortable with being out in the community and not having a routine,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's just, you know, a lack of, or a sense of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And lack of opportunity.
Lack of opportunity as well.
Lack of opportunity is what it is. I dealt with that with my son, and he said while he was in there, the way the education goes is the more time you have, the more you move up on a waiting list to get an education. And the education I have is only a few trades, like working on small engines or working in a barber shop, you know, landscaping, culinary arts. And once you take those, only a few that they have, that's what you get. That's what a little certificate that you gain in. And when they get out, where can they get working with that? You know, they have to explain to an employer that on their application, they have X amount of years in the workforce because they've been incarcerated, but they did have a degree or a certificate saying that they work small engines or they work landscaping and they're trying to pursue work in that area. But in the community, we're focusing on what we see progress in manufacturing jobs. We don't see we don't see a lot of landscaping jobs or culinary arts or barbershops in order for these guys to come out with the education that they're gaining in there. See, I hear the focus on nonviolent, but we hear all these violent crowds. These guys got to come out sometime. We got to focus on them, too. We can't exclude them. And my son is one. And he sits around here, and, you know, he doesn't, he goes to church. But, you know, the church we're going to do so far, we help them with their soul. We help them find the Lord. It's us as a community. We got to focus on getting these guys an opportunity to say, hey, we're not giving up on you, too. We're not excluding you. We got to help you find a job.
And that's where I would challenge the businesses that are in not only our district but in the state. And I would challenge those businesses. I know you hear the add one job, but I would challenge them to help reintegrate those people that maybe as they're looking to expand, that they specifically target those kind of people. And I think if the faith-based community works together with the businesses that are in the community, I know we do that at Life Church Indy. That's where I'm a member. Mm-hmm. That's where I serve. And I know we work not only with the neighborhoods, but we also work with businesses in the area.
I was just listening, and I appreciated Pastor Brad. Thank you. What I also was listening to him talk about that and the certificate that you get is something that I learned from the folks at the VA. Not the VA, but from the American Legion, I'm sorry.
Excellent organization.
Yeah, where employers don't know what a service man or woman does. So if they see squad leader, they don't have a clue what squad leader means today. And so that employer that's looking at the resume or the application of somebody that's just been released and they see certificate for small engines from Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
They say, wait a minute, how do you learn small engines? And they probably, that hiring manager thinks that is make work, that is not a real certificate. It's not like Ivy Tech. It's not like going to ITT. And they just, you know, take that piece of paper or that computer thing and throw it to the side. It's meaningless. Does the state have some responsibility of educating employers that, hey, if somebody was in Pendleton or Rockville or whatever, they got a certificate, that's the real deal. That wasn't make work. That was something real. You see my point?
I do see your point. And I'm going to give this two different ways.
Okay.
I'm going to say, yes, the state does bear some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I think our community bears the bulk of that responsibility. You talked about the American Legion. Mm-hmm. I've been a member of Wayne Post 64 for over 8 years. I'm very active in mm-hmm. that post, served as chaplain,
mm-hmm.
And have worked with Hoosier veterans that are trying to get jobs, they're trying to reintegrate. We have a lot of great non-for-profits that focus on veterans issues. And we need to build those nonprofits up, and we need to make sure that those are around. But we can do the same thing
for
in our community for ex-offenders. What we need is people to step up and be a leader, not to be a student, but to be a leader.
Is it fair to say it has been as difficult for our veterans as for our ex-offenders? Maybe not comparable, but getting there.
Yes, I think in the past it has. I don't think that's the case anymore.
It's improving.
I think it is improving greatly.
239-1310. 239-1310. Tap the News. Name is We'll Take a Break. We're with Bradford Moulton. He's the Republican candidate for state representative in House District 92, Wayne Township, kind of west of Holt Road to kind of all the way to Hendricks County, a little bit into Hendricks County. Nope.
Just Wayne Township, west of Lyndhurst, Speedway, Claremont, and north of Morris Street.
See, I was thinking I had Claremont on the brain. There we go. 239-1310. 239-1310. Afternoon's name is after these.
Hi, this is Jessica Williams Gibson, newsroom manager at the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Life.
Candidates for prosecutor and sheriff over the next 2 days, an exclusive interview with Dr. Michael Lomax, head of the UNCF, on Friday. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name is with Bradford Moulton, a Republican candidate, House District 92. When we talk about education, we're always talking about K through 12. What would you do about higher ed? Because there's some Republicans that say freeze tuition, make it easier for you to finish college in 3 years and save money, teach students how not to overload with loans. What would you do if you're in the legislature?
Well, two big things. One of the big ones that I'm pushing for is I would like to see the tuition freeze. Mm-hmm. I want to see if you start a public school in the state of Indiana, whatever your rate is that freshman year is your rate for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. And if it's a two-year school, then it's locked in for 2 years.
So if you're the class of 2018, this is going to be your rate until you walk across that stage 4 years later.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And I think that will allow people to budget better. I think that will allow people to better plan because you're not going to have to worry about those 6, 9, 12% tuition increases year after year where you get behind the eight ball. Mm-hmm. Also with that, I really think we need to focus on, as those kids come into school, working with your counselors and looking at what you're going to do for the next 4 years, not just dilly-dallying year to year to year. Mm-hmm. I know when I started Purdue, I started in aeronautical engineering, thought that's what I wanted to do. Year later, switched to pre-med, decided I wanted to be a fireman, I wanted to be a paramedic, and wanted to get a different type of education. But nobody was really there to help me with that. Mm-hmm. And that's been several years ago, but I think we're doing an adequate job, but I am not a person who accepts adequacy.
Would your idea of a tuition freeze also make it easier to budget for 21st century scholars? Because the budget people would know, okay,
absolutely,
we got X number of kids in the class, so it's going to cost us X.
Exactly. I think you'll see that, but also I think it's going to put some responsibility on our public institutions, on our public universities to say, you've got to budget the next 4 years. If you have a plan that's 4 or 5 years down the road, you've got to budget for it, and you've got to plan those out in such a way. With that being said, I wouldn't mind seeing some additional funding going to that. If we say we're locking in the rates, here's what we're doing, that we look at where we're at on our budget and say, here's what we can do now. We, you know, we're funding you at level X. We're going to give you X plus one.
Let me go to Miss B at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
And the young man there. I'm not in your district or anything, but I wanted to ask the question. Don't you think that when you put these electric braces on these young men and they have to pay for them, that causes them to, that ones that can't get jobs or anything, that causes them to go out here and start and do more crime? It causes a lot of more extra crime against them.
If they're wearing the ankle bracelets?
Yes. That means they pay for them pay, and they don't have the money to pay for them. Don't that cause them to go out here and start stealing or something again to give more crime, cause more crime?
Yeah, it's a good common sense question.
And my answer to that is, I don't know. I would think that if they have an ankle bracelet on, they're not going to leave wherever they're supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm.
As far as not being able to pay for it, once again, it kind of comes back to the opportunity aspect and, you know, can they get a job and what are they looking for and what are their skills? And I would throw that back onto the community. How can the family and how can the community help that individual with that ankle bracelet on to try to better prepare themselves to pay for that? I don't know that it would necessarily cause them to go out and commit crime because I would think that they would know that they were committing that crime.
Let me go to Pam at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there. I know that there is not enough time to deal with all of these issues. However, there are certain populations of people that definitely need to be specialized, especially I heard there was a mention earlier about the women veterans, and there are special services that are for women veterans that need to remain, and populations of people such as ex-offenders. With ex-offenders and school children, there is a key component that is missing, which is one reason, in my opinion, why the economy is and will stay the way it is. People cannot depend on people to give them jobs. There has to be entrepreneurship promotion, even in the high school level, because the average high school has one guidance counselor to serve all of the kids. So it's no wonder that kids are going to college and they're confused and they're changing majors and they have no idea what's going on as far as financial aid, because you have one guidance counselor in the school system. Very seldom is entrepreneurship promoted, even in the high school level. So we have kids that are going off to college that are creating debt, that are coming out, and they're having a very hard time to find a job and think that they did something wrong and now their parents are in debt. Same thing happens with the ex-offender population. They come out, we promise them, oh, you get out, you know, there are all these programs, and the programs aren't depleted. So while they're incarcerated, they also need to be taught about entrepreneurship opportunities, because that is the way to empower people in order to be able to create their own income.
Now, that sounds like a question just designed for a Republican candidate.
I love it. Absolutely.
Is that something? But she raises that entrepreneurship that's not in our college and career ready standards, aka Common Core 2.0. I don't think it is in the programs that are taught in our correctional institutions, but she's absolutely right. Sometimes the way that jobs are created is somebody comes up with a bright idea, gets somebody to help invest in the idea, and then as the idea grows, they start their own business, and the business grows, and they can hire people.
Well, I can tell you there are some groups here in the state of Indiana that specifically target high school kids to become entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. That they look at, that they help them develop that idea, that they help them get the funding, and at the end of the year, they're developing their own program, whether it's something to sell or their own business. So it's out there, but to what degree it's out there, I don't think it's enough. I think we can do more.
And I'm wondering, is that at Ben Davis or Ben Davis University and in some of the innovative, you know, coursework that they have out there?
The program that I'm referencing to covers multiple different schools. It's based out of Carmel, okay, but it covers multiple different schools. And I do know that there are other options out there. But I agree. I think entrepreneurship should be taught in the prisons. I think it should be taught in the high schools. And that's why, from my standpoint, education is more than just your I-STEP test. Mm-hmm. Education is everything that you learned, every experience that you had along the way.
If you're elected, do we need to slow down some of these education reforms so that we can absorb them? So not just the people in your district, but the people in the state can absorb a lot of this change?
I think we have to be very careful as a state and as a legislature having knee-jerk reactions. Mm-hmm. I think that we need to evaluate what we're doing and move forward. I know there's been a lot of discussion with the CEIC versus what's happened with Glenda Ritz. We've adopted Common Core. We've kicked Common Core out. I think we have to be very careful that we're not simply responding or knee-jerk reactions. Mm-hmm. Because I found, especially as a fireman, if I'm responding to the situation or if I'm reacting to it, then things go bad. Mm-hmm. But if I'm proactive, if I plan ahead, if I give that extra couple seconds before I make a decision and do something, mm-hmm, things go much better. And I think we should do that as a legislature.
Let me go to Elsie right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling the other lady that called about the ones beyond with the bracelets and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I believe there's a better way to do this. A lot of these young guys don't have any money to pay. And I believe they can go out and do community work and put them in a program to teach them, you know.
And I agree with that. There are some programs that are out there, and I personally would not have a problem with, you know, instead of having to pay physical money to do that, that you put in some sweat equity, that you put in some sweat labor. You work with a community group. You work in the community garden. You clean up the streets. I'm not opposed to having those types of outside-the-box discussions. That's
right,
one of the big reasons.
Who's going to hire them, you know? Not too many people going to hire them. So it's just make them discourage more, you know, and I think it's a better way to treat our people.
But I think what the candidate is talking about is, you know, working with nonprofit groups, you know, is sort of like mandatory volunteering. And that also gives you work experience to put on your resume. Great question, Elsie. Appreciate it. Bradford Moulton, our standard closing question with all of our candidates. If people want more information about your campaign, Republican candidate for House District 92 on the West Side, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, they can reach me at Bradford Moulton at iCloud.com.
Oh, an iCloud.
iCloud. Okay. You can find me on Facebook at Bradford Moulton for State Representative. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Bradford4Rep. And then I'm always willing to hear from my constituents. I'll give you my personal cell phone. It's 317 847 1513. I'm available almost all the time, and just call me if you have a question or you need something, and I want to respond to the need.
So as you've gone around your district, is everybody saying, Bradford, we love you, but we're staying home, we're tired of this, we're on election day, we're going to be watching The View and The Price is Right, we're not going out to vote. What's the mood out there?
The mood is twofold. I find that there's a lot of people who are just like, eh, you know, things aren't going the way I want them to go, or things aren't, you know, all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. Mm-hmm. So they seem distracted. But if you can engage those people, a lot of times you see that spark.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I see is people are upset in general.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are motivated voters, and they're going to be out there on November 4th.
All right, Bradford Moulton, the Republican candidate in House District 92. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you. When we
Thank
come
you,
back,
sir.
We'll have a few other things to say in our remaining moments. This afternoon's with Amos on a very busy Tuesday.